Hi, welcome to another segment on Focal Point. This is Stephen Thal, and I'll be your host. Today, we're interviewing a guest that's been on here many times before, but she has a new title now. She is the Fire Marshal of the Windsor Volunteer Fire Department. So welcome again, Laurie.
Thank you very much for having me, Stephen.
It's always a pleasure because every time I sit behind this mic, I'm learning something different that I have to do in case of an emergency. So I'm sure I'll have to add something to my list after this interview.
It's good to always learn something new.
We're going to start off with getting ready for the spring.
All right. Yes, the springtime is, I always think of spring as the time for spring cleaning, getting out of those winter blues and starting to freshen up the house. So the main things that people can do is, number one, when we change our clocks, we want to make sure and check our smoke alarms as well, do any of their required maintenance per the manufacturer's instructions. Usually, this looks like changing out the batteries, if they're replaceable batteries, perhaps cleaning, definitely testing to make sure that they're still working, and also check the date. If the smoke alarm was manufactured more than 10 years ago, it's time to replace the smoke alarm. And then if you have difficulty going up and down ladders, think about putting in lithium ion 10-year sealed smoke alarms. They have a battery that'll last the full life of the smoke alarm. You set it up, and for 10 years, you don't have to worry about changing out your batteries.
But you still should test the alarms.
Yes, though, you still want to test it. Make sure you're testing them once a month or however often the manufacturer is recommending in the instructions. And then also take this time to review your home escape plan and your emergency plan and kits with the rest of your family. Make sure that if anybody's needs or abilities have changed, or if people have switched around bedrooms, that you take that into account with your escape plan and make sure that your escape plan meets the needs of everyone who's living in your household. And then also take a look at your emergency plan and make sure that all of the phone numbers and paperwork are up to date, that your kits are up to date. This is a great time to replace expired foods or water that may be in the kit, or medications, both over-the-counter and prescription. And then also, if you've got a file for life, which is a pocket folder that you can fill in your medical information and stick it on the freezer, so that way if you have a medical emergency, the paramedics will have all of your information right there. It's a great time to take a look at that and make sure you update any medications, doctor's contact information, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we notice some people in their houses, if it's a two-story house, they put in a ladder. Should they review the strength of the ladders and stuff like that that they throw out, a rope ladder or whatever they have up there, or a pole that they slide down?
Yes, you want to check all of those safety devices. So in addition to the smoke alarms, take a look if you've got an escape ladder, if you've got fire extinguishers around the home, anything like that. You want to make sure and review the instructions on how to use it. Take a look at the device itself. Make sure it's still in good working order. And check in with the people who may need to use that ladder and make sure they're still comfortable doing so. If people have had changes in mobility over the last few months, then climbing down a rope ladder may not be as easy as it once was. And so that's definitely something to consider before the emergency happens instead of in the midst of an emergency. And then with spring cleaning, we also want to take fire safety into account and make sure all of our exits are clear, both inside and outside. Make sure we've got clear walking paths to all of our doors, any windows that you may need to escape out of during a fire. A lot of times there's that one door in the home that not a lot of people use, doesn't see a lot of traffic, but it's important to make sure that that door is clear as well as the one that you normally go in and out of. And then take a look outside, make sure you're picking up any branches that may have fallen down during recent storms. Take a look at your paths and walkways to make sure the frost heave over the winter hasn't caused them to turn into trip hazards. And also clear clutter out of your home while you're spring cleaning. Think about reducing the fire load in your home by clearing out that clutter. I know a lot of towns have bulk pickup days or hazardous waste cleanup days. Make sure and pay attention to those in your own town and take advantage of them to clear out any of those hazards from your home.
Yeah, and I think also if there are any cracks in the sidewalks, you might want to get them repaired.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that we're preventing any possible trip hazards, whether inside the home or outside. And then while we're looking forward to warmer weather, we know that warmer weather can bring some stronger storms. Looking forward to hurricane season later in the summer, and even just those strong pop-up storms in the beginning of spring. You want to make sure that you're prepared for those. Check in with your local town or municipality and see if they have a local alerts system, and make sure and sign up for those alerts. In the past, we've been able to use reverse 911, but that only really works for landlines, and a lot of households no longer have landlines. People are relying on their cell phones, and so those are not part of the system. And so it's really important that you sign up with those local alerts, both for your municipality and also for the state. And then be intentional about checking in on the weather every once in a while. In today's day where, you know, we watch a lot of streaming television and get our news from social media, it's easy to unplug from those traditional news outlets or not pay as much attention to the weather coming in. But it's important to check on a regular basis. So that way you've got advance warning of any storms coming up. So that way you can take a chance to prepare for them and review your emergency plan and whether or not you need to evacuate or hunker down for a few days.
Yeah, and that means having enough food in the house for those days or having your go kits.
Yes. A friend of mine coined the phrase, the first 72 is on you. You want to make sure that for the first 3 days after a significant weather event, you're able to be self-sufficient in your own home. So that means reviewing your food stores to make sure you've got enough food that may not need electricity to prepare. And so whether that's non-perishable foods, snack foods, those types of things. Don't forget your furry friends. Make sure that they've got enough food to last a few days as well. Also, make sure you've got enough water to drink and do dishes and to clean up. And then also you want to make sure that you've got flashlights with fresh batteries and those types of things so that you're ready to stay put for those first 72 hours. Also, if folks are using medical oxygen or other devices that are reliant on electricity, you want to make sure that you've got a backup plan in case you lose power, whether that means having a couple of extra canisters of oxygen ready to go, or consider installing an emergency generator in your home. So that way, if the power goes out, those devices will still work. But if you are going to install a standby generator, make sure you're installing it with a building permit with a licensed electrician.
Now, there are different kinds of generators, aren't there?
Yes, there are portable ones that you can start up on their own and place them wherever you need them, and you can power devices directly off of them. Then there's also standby generators that are permanently wired into your home, and there's a transfer switch. So when the power goes off into your home, it automatically kicks that generator on and provides power to the designated circuits throughout your home. And so with that, it's really important that that gets installed with a licensed electrician. And then if you're using a portable generator, you want to make sure that you're following the instructions on how to plug devices into it. You want to make sure and not overload the generator by plugging too many things into it. Make sure you're safely using the extension cords with the correct rating, so that way you're not, you know, plugging a refrigerator into a extension cord that's designed for Christmas lights. There's a significance in the difference of electrical load. But you also want to make sure that you're plugging individual items into that generator instead of backfeeding that generator into the power in your home directly, because that can end up pushing power out onto the lines in the street and can create a dangerous situation for firefighters and for the linemen who are fixing the lines.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's a good point. Now, are there also gas generators, too?
Yes, the generators run on many different power supplies. Some of them you can hook directly up into the gas lines from the street. Others run on propane. Some will run on gasoline or diesel, similar to, you know, starting up a lawnmower at home. And so you want to make sure that whichever generator you choose, you're comfortable with doing the maintenance yourself. You're comfortable with the directions on how to run it and how to fill it. You want to make sure that if it's a fuel burning generator, that you're setting it up away from any open doors or windows into your home. So that way you're not bringing carbon monoxide into your home. You want to make sure it's got plenty of ventilation around it and that there's no combustibles right up against it. So that way it doesn't start a fire on its own.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. We were talking about fire alarms, but we forgot to mention smoke detector. Not only smoke detectors, but carbon monoxide detectors.
Yes, remember that carbon monoxide is odorless, colorless, and tasteless, so we can't sense it at all. That's why it's really important that we have carbon monoxide detectors in our home anytime we've got a fuel burning appliance in or around our home. And so you want to put these detectors on each level of your home, follow the manufacturer's instructions on placement, and they need to get replaced about every 10 years as well. So you can check the date of manufacture on the back and make sure that gets replaced on a regular basis.
So that will, especially if you have a attached garage to the house, shouldn't you have something near there or any fireplaces that you may be using?
Yep. So you want them on every level of your home and near your sleeping areas. And this will detect carbon monoxide that's caused by vehicles running in a garage or from a fireplace, a fuel-burning furnace, or even if you have a gas stove. All of those items can create carbon monoxide in the home. And so we want to make sure that we've got those detectors ready to go. And if your carbon monoxide alarm starts sounding, get everybody outside and call the fire department. A lot of times people feel like they're being a bother and they're not sure that it's a real emergency because they don't smell anything or see any smoke. But you need to remember that this is a poisonous gas that is deadly and is undetectable by humans. So it's really important that we're following the advice of those alarms, that we need to heed that sound and get outside and call 911 to have the fire department come out and test to make sure that it's safe to go back inside.
This is Stephen Thal at another Focal Point, and we're interviewing Fire Marshal Laurie Volkert from the Windsor Volunteer Fire Department. And she's giving us a lot of good information about using the springtime to clean up not only around the outside of your house, but the inside as well, and preparing for future storms. So another question I had for you, Laurie, is what about fire extinguishers? When do you use them, when not to use them, and how do you use them?
All right. So fire extinguishers are designed for incipient stage fires, which is a term of art that we use that means a baby fire right at the beginning stage when a fire first starts. That's when a fire extinguisher is going to be a handy tool. So think of, toast catching on fire in the toaster oven, or a waste paper basket that catches on fire because of a match that was disposed of improperly, those types of things. If you've got a larger fire, a drum of oily rags that's on fire, or a large pile of brush that has caught fire that is blowing around in the wind, those are going to be too big to try and use a fire extinguisher. You need to call the fire department. Also, anytime you use a fire extinguisher, you want to make sure that you've had somebody call the fire department first to make sure that they're on their way coming as backup. Just in case the fire doesn't go out, you don't want to delay notifying the fire department that they need to come out. The firefighters would much rather respond to a fire that's been put out safely so they can make sure that everything went well instead of being delayed and coming to a potentially much bigger incident just because someone thought they could handle it themselves.
Now, are there different fire extinguishers for different situations?
There are. Fire extinguishers are based on the different class of fire, and that's determined by what's on fire. So if we think about ordinary combustibles, wood, paper, cloth, trash, those are Class A combustibles, and you can use water to put those fires out. You can also use a multi-purpose dry chemical extinguisher. Those are those red cans that you see for sale in a lot of the big box stores, and they're the ones that are most readily available in public buildings as well. The reason those are so popular is because those work not only on ordinary fires, but also on Class B fires, which are flammable liquids. Think gasoline, kerosene, paints, lacquers, thinners, those types of things. And then also Class C fires, which are fires that involve live electrical current. So obviously you don't want to put water on those two types of fires. That's why water is not a good choice. But this dry chemical extinguisher separates the fuel from the rest of the fire by creating a blanket of a thin powder. And that knocks the flames down and contains the fire without reacting with the flammable liquids or the electrical equipment.
Now, what are the major things that keep a fire going? I remember it's like a triangle. It's like fuel.
Yep. Fire needs four things to occur. It needs heat, fuel, oxygen, and a chemical chain reaction. So you take away any one of those four things, we call it the fire tetrahedron. If you take away any one of those four sides, the fire is going to go out. And so that's how extinguishers work. The dry chem extinguishers separate the fuel from the rest of the fire. Putting water on a fire will cool the fire down, removing the heat. If we use a carbon dioxide extinguisher, the ones with the big cones that are very dramatic in all of the movies, those actually suffocate the fire by displacing the oxygen. And then the chemical chain reaction is happening at a molecular level, and that's how a fire sustains itself. And so halon or other halogenated agents that we see in a lot of computer rooms or around sensitive electronics actually interrupt at that molecular level. All of those are great tools, but we can also use the fire tetrahedron, not only to put fires out, but also to think about how to prevent fires. If we keep those four things from coming together, then we can prevent a fire from happening. So the main way to think about that is we need to keep fuel, things that can burn, away from heat or ignition sources that get hot enough to start a fire. If we can keep those separated, the fire won't get a chance to start in the first place.
Okay, why don't you repeat the tetrahedral ones one more time?
Yep, it's heat, fuel, oxygen, and the chemical chain reaction.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, and using a fire extinguisher, got to remember the word PASS. Pull, aim, squeeze, sweep is the acronym. First, we pull the pin from the top. It's not a grenade or a timing device. You can put the pin back in if it falls out accidentally. The pin's only in there to make sure that you don't activate it by accident when you're carrying it around. So we pull the pin out, and then we want to aim the nozzle at the base of the fire to make sure that we're going to put it out effectively. And then we squeeze the handle down and sweep the nozzle from side to side, dispersing the agent and putting the fire out. If the fire goes out, great. Wait in the area for the fire department to show up because you should have already called them and explain what was on fire and how you put it out. They'll probably check with a thermal imaging camera to make sure that it is put out correctly. And then also, if the fire doesn't go out, that's fine. Just use the exit you've kept to your back. Get out of the room safely. Close the door behind you so that way the fire stays contained to that room. And then go out to meet the fire department outside since you should have already called them. And let them know where the fire is, what was on fire, and how it reacted when you tried to put the fire out.
Now, what about for auto fires? Which one would be good for that?
The ABC dry chem extinguishers are also pretty good at auto fires. But a lot of times, you should just get out of the car and call the fire department. A lot of times those car fires are too big to try and use a fire extinguisher on. There's too many different fuels going on, too many nooks and crevices for fire to hide. It's better to just get everyone moved away and call the fire department.
Thank you. Now, what about if you have empty fire extinguishers or ones you haven't used in 10 years?
Yep. If you are a part of the MDC district for the water company, they have household hazardous waste collection days throughout the spring and summer. And so you can bring extinguishers to that, full extinguishers that have expired, to that event, and they will dispose of them for you. If you have an empty extinguisher, you can bring the empty canister to a transfer station to be recycled.
Any other thoughts in terms of, now that you've been fire marshal for a few months, any perspectives from that area?
Just the necessity of people to take ownership of their own safety, whether that's fire safety or emergency preparedness. A lot of times, you know, people look at emergency responders, both fire and EMS and police, as heroes that are going to come in and save the day whenever an emergency happens. But the truth of the matter is that there's only a few of us compared to the rest of the population. And so it's really important that people take ownership of their own safety and work hard to prevent emergencies from happening in the first place to make sure that the capabilities of those emergency responders are saved for those unpreventable emergencies so that way they have the capacity to respond when they need to.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of people are using cell phones. Do you think eventually they'll be able to have a system to work with cell phones in terms of notifying people or more communication?
Absolutely. Every day there are new things happening technology-wise in terms of emergency management, emergency alerts. One of the things to pay attention to is make sure that your national alerts is turned on your cell phone. This is when a severe weather warning comes through and your phone makes a weird beep when there's a tornado warning or a severe storm warning that needs immediate action. So you want to make sure that you leave those on your cell phone so that way you're getting notified. But also even just recently within the last year or two, now you can text 911. So if you're in a situation where calling is not possible, either because of your difference in abilities, or if maybe you're just in a situation where it's not safe to make that phone call, it's safer to text. You can go ahead and do that and text 911 to get emergency help. And so it's good to stay on top of the news and pay attention to those new technologies as they're coming through, and also get to know your local town and how they want to get a hold of you. Make sure and reach out so that way you can get on any alert list, whether that's through email, cell phones, or even just following them on social media. I know a lot of towns are utilizing social media to get emergency messaging and everyday messaging out to the public.
The other thing I wanted to ask is, how about hurricane preparation?
Yes. So you want to make sure that you're following the directions of any safety notifications you're receiving from your local town or from the state. And the good thing about hurricanes coming up the coast is usually we get advance notice. And so pay attention to the weather. If we see a storm that looks like it's coming our way, that's a really good time to start pulling out that emergency kit. Make sure that you're prepared to stay self-sufficient for the first 72 hours. And also take a look around your home. Look at if you own your own home, or if you're in a standalone home, take a look at the trees that may be around your building. Are there any limbs that look like they're dangerous or could come down in the wind? Also, as a storm's approaching, consider bringing in outdoor furniture or decorations that may become a hazard if caught up in the wind during a storm. Make sure that any areas that are prone to flooding are taken care of. Do all those little things to make sure and try and mitigate or reduce the risk to yourself, your home, and your loved ones. And reach out to your neighbors and elderly family members that may not live with you. Make sure that they're all set as well. Once you've gotten your own house in order, reach out and see who else in the community may need help in terms of, you know, taking down a few tree limbs or helping them clear out outdoor furniture, those types of things.
Now, what about people that are living in retirement homes, nursing homes?
Yep. The best thing to do is to check in with your management company and make sure that you're familiar with their emergency plan. Find out how they're going to respond during a storm. If you rely on public transportation or on a community van to take you to medical appointments, you want to make sure that you know that schedule and how they'll notify you if they're not going to run due to inclement weather. And then also make sure that you know what their plan is in terms of having to evacuate portions of the building, what they're going to do if there's a tornado warning, those types of things. So that way you can be prepared and ready to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem during an emergency.
And all of those are great ideas because you're the only one that can do things and put it together more than anybody else.
Right. Everyone has to take ownership of their own safety and be that change agent to work together within the community to keep everyone safer.
Now, in terms of checking your furnaces and stuff, what kind of recommendations you have for that?
Check to make sure that you've got combustibles cleared away from around any fuel-burning appliance, a heater, water heater, those types of things. Make sure your combustibles are at least 3 feet away. And then also make sure that you're getting annual maintenance on your furnace. Have a maintenance company come out and they'll do a full check and then follow their recommendations for further maintenance. And then also make sure that fuel tanks are filled up, especially ahead of a storm. If you rely on oil or propane for your hot water, then you want to make sure that those tanks are topped off before a major storm. So that way it's one less thing to worry about.
So it's almost like an individual seeing the doctor once or twice a year. The house should be the same thing.
Exactly. Got to have that preventative maintenance is important, both for your home, for vehicles, all of those things. It's important to stay on top of all of that. One tool that I've got in the toolbox that I want to remind people of is if they need help with their smoke alarms, or if they have smoke alarms that need to be replaced and they're having trouble paying for it, the Red Cross does have a great program where they will send out a trained volunteer to your home to install smoke alarms free of charge. And they'll also work with you to create a home escape plan that fits the needs of your individual family. So the phone number for that is 877-287-3327.
Okay, can you repeat it one more time?
Absolutely. 877-287-3327.
Now, will they also do carbon monoxide alarms or just fire alarms?
It's a nationwide program, and so the guidance I've had is that it depends on the availability of carbon monoxide alarms to the local programs. So reach out to your local Red Cross and check to see if they have carbon monoxide alarms available as well.
And if you have a fire extinguisher that's no longer going to be used, so you're recommending that they check with the town about how to dispose of it properly, right?
Absolutely. Bring it to one of those hazardous waste cleanup days, or if it's an empty canister, you can bring that to your local transfer station and they'll recycle the canister for you.
Okay, and don't empty it if you don't need it for a fire.
Right. You can do so into a trash bag. If it's an ABC dry chem extinguisher, you can take it outside and empty it into a trash bag if you feel safe doing so. But it's just as easy to bring the whole thing to a hazardous waste cleanup day.
Yeah, you're right about that. And one other thing about fire pits and grilling foods.
Yes. Got to make sure that anytime we're having a fire outside, it's constantly attended by a responsible grown-up who has a way to put that fire out. And you also want to make sure that any fire pits or grills are at least 10 feet away from your home. So that way, if it does catch on fire, if the fire escapes the container, it's not going to escape onto your home and set your house on fire.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just running through my checklist.
All right. Awesome. And then also check with your local town about any regulations about having outdoor fires. Some towns have outside burning permit that you need to apply for. Other towns allow small fires but don't allow the large brush fires to get rid of debris. So check with your local burning official and they'll be able to guide you through that process.
Okay, so for people living in Windsor, who should they call for getting on the list if they're over 60 or they need help during emergencies?
Yes, so the town of Windsor has a at-risk list that you can sign up for additional help during an emergency. And so during a severe weather event or other emergency, they will call down that list to make sure that everyone is okay and ready to stay put for a while. So get in touch with social services to get on that list. But also if you have medical oxygen in your home or if you have someone who needs a wheelchair or other assistive devices, you can let your local dispatch center know. So that way they can put a tag on your address. And that way, anytime you need emergency response, they can notify the fire, police, or EMS of those needs in your home.
Yeah. And one other thing, if you're using a wheelchair, whether it's electronic or just regular or walkers, you need to get those checked out periodically to make sure they're still functioning properly.
Yep. You want to make sure that any assistive device you're using is getting the required preventive maintenance, just like we were talking about with vehicles and homes. We want to make sure that those assistive devices are also getting that preventive maintenance to take care of any issues before they could become problems.
Okay. We want to thank you, Laurie, Fire Marshal, wish you every success in your new ventures, new greater responsibilities, and I'm sure you'll be doing a great job.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So we'll have her back later in the summer for getting ready for the winter.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you again. This is Stephen Thal with another segment on Focal Point to remind you to wear sunglasses and a hat to protect your eyes. The sun's getting brighter and brighter. And secondly, to practice an emergency plan, as Laurie Volker reminded us today, not only practice it, but involve everybody, and you'll find that it will pay off. Stephen Thal, thanking you all for allowing us into your homes.